Thank you for your prayers on my behalf. I ask you just to continue to pray for me as I stand before you this afternoon. Just count it a real privilege to be able to gather as we have and see you, and pray the Lord would just be with us for a little while in a preaching way. We need grace in so many areas and aspects of our life. And God's grace, we know from the Word of God, His grace is sufficient for whatever He's called upon us to do. He'll never call on us to do something that He won't provide grace sufficient for us. I also know how prone I am to wander and how bent I am for backsliding and how sometimes I do not trust and depend upon the Lord nearly as much as I ought to. Seldom, if ever, do I. And yet His grace has been with us, and we thank God for the liberty of past efforts to speak in His name. We have every reason to trust in Him this afternoon, and do ask each of you just to pray that God would be with us. If you have your Bibles and would like to read with me, I certainly encourage you to do that. I'm going to read from the writings of the book of John, the Gospel of John, and chapter 14. John chapter 14. Beginning right at the first verse of John 14, we read the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and have yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Great, great promises given by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to us as His children. He's speaking here in this passage to His disciples. And those of His disciples were troubled. It's a great blessing in a way to be troubled. I know that sounds strange to the world, but we know from the Scripture that there are men that are not troubled in this world. And though sometimes we might look at them and even envy them, the Bible tells us not to do that, but rather be thankful that you are troubled. And that sounds strange, but it's a reality laid down in God's Word. We know in Psalm 73, the Lord tells us there by inspiration of God, as the psalmist records in Psalm 73, he said, "Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped." And here's why he was in trouble. He says, "For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm." Verse 5 says, "They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. The wicked get along in this world just fine. They don't have any problem with the world. The ways of the world, the survival of the fittest, dog-eat-dog kind of world is just their cup of tea. And brethren, that would be us, were it not for the grace and the mercy of Almighty God. We'd not have the troubles that sometimes God's little children feel, and it's a great, great blessing to have those kinds of troubles. Over in the 36th division of the Psalm, we read in verse 1, "The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes." In other words, a man of the world by nature, a woman of the world, has no fear of God. There's no concern. There's no concern about hell. There's no concern about whether I'm getting to heaven. There's no concern about anything spiritual. The carnal mind is enmity against God, is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And Psalm 10 and verse 4 tells us that the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. In other words, all his thoughts say there is no God. I don't have to answer to anybody. I'm it. And he's not troubled. There isn't any trouble. He's not troubled. As a matter of fact, the better things get, the better he likes it, the more he fits in. The only thing that would concern him is his body is falling apart and the natural things are leaving him and he can't have as much fun with those things as he once had. He may have concerns about those things, but the trouble that the Lord is talking about here to his disciples is a special trouble that only God's children have. I hope you have that kind of trouble today. If you do, I've got some good news for you, those who are troubled. The world would tell you everybody's burdened and heavy laden, but that's not so. Because the man of this world, as we've read, you look at them, they're not burdened and heavy laden, but God's little children in this world are burdened and heavy laden. And the difference is that God has done something for them. God has blessed them with something that they could not gain on their own, they could not merit on their own, they do not deserve on their own. And that is when God works a work of grace in their hearts and they become a new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, all things are become new. They are changed. That happens by the grace of God. The preacher can't do it. Mom and daddy can't do it. The Sunday school teacher can't do it. Men and women in their best efforts can't do it. It takes God to bring one that is dead, that is not troubled by the things of God or concerned about spiritual things. It takes Almighty God to do that work. Today, if you've had concerns about heaven, I hope you've had. I hope you've had some trouble about how it is that you, who deserve hell, could ever be delivered from that place and be carried to a place that you do not deserve, a place that we sing about that's fairer than day, the land that is the sweet by and by, the land that the Lord has prepared, that he says here, "I go to prepare a place for you." And when he says that, there's a whole lot more. We'll get to that in a second. There's more, a whole lot more than heaven and immortal glory involved in that, but yet heaven and immortal glory is involved in that. When the Lord talked about going somewhere here, and really what they were troubled about was something, if they'd had understanding, they wouldn't have been troubled. But they had trouble because he said, "I'm going away." He had told them, one thing he told them, which should have troubled them, and he says, one of you that are gathered here are going to deceive me, is a deceiver. One of you are going to, as he said, I believe it's, let's look over here in the 13th verse, if we can find that. He said this in verse 21, "When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." You know, it's an amazing thing that of all the disciples, you know, man lift up in his pride and arrogance would have said, "I know it isn't me. You know, it must be this one or that one because I know it's not me." You know, you read about this in other places in the Gospels and you'll see that every one of them ask, "Is it I? Is it me, Lord? Is it me?" The only one who didn't, you don't see asking that, is the one who did it. The one whom, and Jesus knew exactly who it was, and he knew it had to be. He knew this was part of the purpose of God. He didn't cause Judas to be the character that he was, but he certainly used that to bring about his very will in the sense that he had to go to the cross. Jesus didn't come just to live in this world and have a good time with his disciples. He came to die. In the Old Testament, in Isaiah 50, it says his face was set like a flint for this time and for this purpose, that he might give his cheeks to the smiters, that he might give his back to be beaten and to be ridiculed and mocked, and all that took place in the crucifixion. Jesus came for that purpose. The reason that Jesus came here into this world is because his little children were in trouble and they had a great need, and Jesus had to come where they were and become who they were. He had to take upon himself a body of flesh that he could stand in their place as their room and sacrifice and offer himself once unto God a perfect sacrifice for the sin of his people. He had to come as the Lamb of God. And he did that. And here it was about to happen. Jesus said, "The time is at hand, and I'm going away from you." Well, if you'd have walked with him and talked with him like they walked and talked with him, you'd have said, "Oh no, don't leave us, Lord." Because what an experience that would have been as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ to actually walk on the face of the earth when the Savior walked, and to see his life and to see all the miracles that he did. Remember, he said, "If you don't believe me because I said so, believe me for the work's sake." Because they had seen things nobody had seen before, because no one could do what Jesus did. No one else could stand at a troubled sea and just calm it by speaking, "Peace, be still." No one else could stand at the tomb of Lazarus and say, "Lazarus, come forth," and see Lazarus, who was dead, come forth. And no one could have seen the eyes, could have caused the eyes of the blind to be opened, or the deaf to hear, or the lame to leap. No one could have done what Jesus did. No man spake like this man. No man talked like this man. No man knew his people like the Lord knew his people. This was the Savior. And here he was saying, "I'm about to leave you." And they became troubled. You know, God's little children would get troubled in this world. You get troubled about eternal things. How is it going to be when I die? Am I going to be able to be with the Lord? I hope we can get some peace from this as we read what Jesus said. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled." That's the message of the gospel. The gospel message is to tell God's little children, don't be troubled. Don't be troubled. It isn't to get you troubled. You're already, as a little child of God, by the Spirit of God working in your heart, you're already troubled. You have that trouble. The world doesn't have that trouble. I can't trouble them with that. But the Lord has already awakened you to your great need. I hope you've been awakened to your great need today, that you need Him. If I'm going to ever get home to glory, I need someone to stand in my place. I need someone to wash me. I who have sinned so much and have come so short of the glory of God, I need someone who will pay that price. I need someone who is able to do it. Not only able to do it, but willing to do it. He not only was able to do it, he had the power to do it. He had the will to do it. He was sent by the Father to do it. And it wasn't because duty demanded it, even though duty did. It was because of his great love wherewith he loved us that he came. And he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God." So he's talking to those who believe in God. He didn't say believe in God. He said, "Ye believe in God." It's a statement. I'll tell you today, if you believe in God, you're a blessed character. You're here, so you must believe in God. It'd be kind of silly to come to a place where God is worshipped if you didn't believe in God. It'd be kind of silly to come and sing songs that honor and praise Him if you didn't believe that He was. It certainly would be silly for us to bow down on our knees and pray as we have together, or bring up all the requests that we've made today, if we didn't believe there was a God who was able to hear it, not only hear it, but knows about it even before we ask. And if we thought for a moment you and I are worthy enough to carry our petitions to Him, well, we just, that would be silly, a silly thought. because God will not hear us as sinners unless there's one who stands and intercedes for us, unless there's one who stands and opens up the way, unless there's one who carries our petitions to heaven. And that one is the one he said, ye believe in God, believe also in me. And what's good about this, it tells us that Jesus here is testifying that he is the same as one with God. He was God made manifest in the flesh. He was Emmanuel, God with us. He was the Word that was with God in the beginning, that took upon himself a body of flesh and came here into this world. He's the living Word. He's the eternal Son of God. He's part of the Godhead. There's one God made manifest in three persons. We see in these expressions laid out in the 14th chapter of John, we see the oneness of Jesus Christ as the Son of God with the Father, and yet we see the distinction of the Father and the Son and even the work of the Holy Spirit. We see one God made manifest in three persons. It's always beautiful when you're reading Scripture and you can see the beautiful fact of the Trinity laid out. The only way to explain the language here is that Jesus was with God and He was God. And isn't that wonderful? There's one God made manifest in three persons. And these three not only agree in one, they are one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. Somebody said, I don't understand all about that. I don't either, but I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I'm telling you, this word mansions is the same word as the word abode. You find that later on in this chapter. That word, if you look it up in any of Strong's concordance, you'll find it's the exact same word. Sometimes we wonder, what does it mean, mansions? Well, it means a place of heavenly abode. It means a place where you find Jesus. It means a place where you have communion with the Father. It means the place where you have the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. It means having fellowship with God. I believe even as we gather here in this meeting, at this time, we're sitting down in a place of heavenly abode. We're having fellowship. That is, if we're having fellowship with Him. He said in verse 23 of John 14, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. That means we'll make our mansion with him. That makes that a whole lot bigger than just getting home to heaven and having a place up there that's built, you know, on the street. The ideas of men of this world that you got streets up there in heaven, you got all the mansions laid out, and Jesus is just up there building the way, hoping that someone's going to fill this place and get that done. And the ideas and the thoughts of this world are so far removed from God's Word. I have no clue how beautiful heaven is going to be, but I know it's going to be how beautiful it's going to be. I don't know all about it, but it does not yet appear what it shall be. But we'll be like Him, and we'll be satisfied, and we'll enjoy sweet fellowship with Him in that final mansion, which is a place of heavenly abode, which means all the time we're there, we'll feel His manifest presence. We'll have communion with the Father. We'll have communion with the Son. We'll have communion with the Holy Spirit. We'll be made one with Him. As they are one, we'll be one, and that sounds really good. And I don't know how much more to say about it than that. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I love that language here, because he said, I wouldn't have said this if it wasn't true. You know, you might find a whole lot of things I say that turn out not to be true. I'm trying that not to be. I'm hoping less and less of that is happening. But I know there's been a lot of times I said things and I thought they were true, but they weren't true. There have been times in my life, and unfortunately I would wish it wasn't that way, that when I said it, I knew it wasn't the truth. But I thought this is going to get me through for the moment. And men do that all the time. You go to buy a car and they'll tell you something. Some of it's true. A whole lot of it's not true. They'll tell you this is a great deal. There might be parts of it that's a great deal. But who's the deal for? Them or you? And you just don't know how that's going to work out. Men say this all the time, don't they? They say it, but they don't mean it. I'm telling you, when Jesus says it, you can count on it. As we've heard, Jesus, the Lord said it, and I believe it, and that settles it. Well, you can skip that middle part. The Lord said it, and that settles it. And you ought to believe it. But whether you believe it or not, if God said it, it's settled. His Word is settled in heaven. It didn't just get settled. It's always been settled. His truth continues to be truth. What He says continues to stand. We are to say, let God be true and every man a liar. We are to preach what He says because it is the truth. Jesus said, if it were not so, I would have told you. That's something that you, as you're troubled, and you say, what kind of trouble? Well, it doesn't matter really what kind of trouble, whatever you face in this world. Your problems, according to the Scripture, are the Lord's problems. And I'm not saying problems in you, that you take them as problems. They may be of great blessing. What maybe you think may be your problems, it may be one of the greatest blessings the Lord has ever laid upon you. See, they thought it was a problem that Jesus was going away. I ask you, was it a problem? No, I'll tell you what, if He had not gone away, there would have been no hope that He would ever been able to prepare a place for them. There would have been no place called heaven. If Jesus had stayed with them, which they wanted Him to do, and done what they wanted Him to do, rather than what God had told Him to do, He would have been a disobedient son, which He could not have been. And it would not have been in their best interest. Though at the moment they thought it would be. Is this anything sometimes that we get in our own life? We think, this is what I need, and I need it right now, Lord. And I got to have it right now. And we say, this is the only way that it can work out. That's because we don't know what the Lord knows. You know, how many ways does God work in our lives? We sing that hymn, God moves in mysterious ways. His wonders to perform, and He does. Sometimes in ways we could never even imagine or think about. I'm saying to you today, as wherever you are, and saying to myself, wherever I am right now, let not your heart be troubled. Let not. Now, let not means you can let your heart be troubled. You can let your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. How can I let not my heart be troubled? He gives you the answer to that. How can I let not my heart be troubled? Ye believe in God. That means you believe in Him. Keep on believing in Him. Keep on trusting in the Father who made the heavens and the earth. And anything that comes in my life, if I need it, He's able to provide it. If I don't need it, He'll keep it from me. If I look to Him, I'll find what I need. And you might say, well, how could you and I, as sinners, have anything to do with this holy and righteous God? Remember, He said, ye believe in God, believe also in me. Listen, the reason God can justifiably be good to us is because the Son paid the price that we had to pay and owed, and the wrath of God was poured out upon Him so that the God can show us the mercy and the grace that His love sends our way. And He's just. God is not only a God of love, He's a God of justice. Jesus paid the price, paid it in full. We are washed in His blood. And all that we deserved, He took. And all the blessings that He earned and merited, He freely gives unto us. The Bible says He daily loads us with benefits. And He does that every single day of our life. And when I get troubled, I'm just wasting time on it. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God? That's a fact. He says, believe also in me. And in my Father's house are many mansions. That means there are many places of heavenly abode. And we sat down with our family at Thanksgiving and sat down at the table, and everybody seemed to be happy and getting along. I'm sure there were probably some things going on I didn't see, but anyway, everything seemed to be going along real good. And I thought, boy, this is a good place to be. There's a little place. If you have a good place where you feel not only the... Now, I'm not just talking about a family get-together. When you feel the presence of God the Father, and you feel the presence of the Son and the Lord Jesus Christ, it can happen in a home, it can happen at Cracker Barrel, it can happen wherever you are, whatever. And those places, Jesus said that He has lifted us up to sit together in heavenly places in Christ. The Apostle Paul told us that. It says this in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. He says, but God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Do you believe you can enjoy some heavenly places before you go home to your heavenly home? I do. I believe we've had them. I believe every little meeting where you feel His presence, every time you've ever been able to sing Amazing Grace and really feel it in your heart, every time that you have had a heart that's troubled and the wonderful message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified overwhelms you and lifts you up and gives you peace. And when you don't know the answer, you know I've got a God who knows the answer that I can go to, and I can lean on Him and depend upon Him. And because of His Son, the Savior, seated on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for me, even though my prayers, I don't have the right to pray, and I know I'd never be heard, Jesus has carried it. He's given me the urge to pray. He's given me the unction to pray. He's the one who's given me a troubled heart, causing me to want to pray. And He's the one who carries my petitions and allows the Father to hear them. And the Father hears them and He answers them. Not according to what I want, but according to His own will. What's best for me. Sometimes what's best for me makes me mad, makes me hot. But nonetheless, He gives you. He's a good Father. I remember asking my daddy for a whole lot of things. He said no. And when he said no, I didn't show him that. But I got mad. I'd walk away mad. But, you know, daddy might have been wrong. But every time God says no, he wasn't wrong often. But a lot of times I felt, you know, every father, the best that they can be, can be wrong. Except your heavenly Father. When He says no, He means no. And it is a blessing that He says no. It's a blessing. He blesses you. Every prayer that He answers. Somebody says, does God answer every prayer? Absolutely. He answers them yes, or He answers them no, or He answers them wait. He answers every one. He hears them and He answers them. And it's great to know that. And you can let not your heart be troubled being at peace about that. I hope you're at peace about that today. And it isn't something you just get and then you've got it forever. You got to continue to grow in this. We got to put it on over and over. It isn't like one time I got it straight. It's like I got to be reminded. That's why you come back to church, to be reminded. That's why you read your Bible, to be reminded. It's why you pray, to be reminded that this isn't about me. It isn't about you. It's about Him. And when we live our lives that way, we find great joy and rest and peace in this world. And otherwise, we're just upset all the time. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Where was Jesus going? We've already talked about that. He was going to the cross. He wasn't going up there to build houses. He was going to the cross. The heaven was prepared from the foundation of the world. It had already been prepared. It was set for every little air promise. God knows His people out of every nation and kindred and tongue and people. He knows who they are. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And He had already prepared that. He's not up there waiting to see who's going to come so He'll build them a mansion. He already has prepared that from the foundation of the world. And every one of His children, He foreknew them and He predestinated them. He has a place prepared for them. But there would have been no way you and I could have ever entered heaven and immortal glory, though it was prepared, were it not for the work of Jesus Christ in washing us in His own blood, and bringing us from a state of death to a state of life. And the life that He gave you, by the way, was eternal life. You don't die to get eternal life. You get it right here when you're made alive in the new birth. The life that is in you, the spiritual life that is in you, the work of God that's in you, it is eternal life, and that will never die. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And the moment that we die, that is when the spirit and the soul depart from the body, it goes immediately, as a little child of grace, it goes immediately into the presence of Almighty God. And by the way, God quickens by His own power according to His own will, just as the wind bloweth where it listeth, and you can hear the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit of God. He does that in a little babe in some cases, and He may wait till a man is in his dying hour, like a thief dying on the cross, and quicken him even while he's there. Isn't it wonderful to know that we have a God so powerful, He does what He wants when He wants to, and none can stay His hand or say, "What doest thou?" That ought to help us today to say, "Let not your heart be troubled." You know, when we get ourselves worried and concerned and we're talking to one another, we ought to repeat these words of Jesus to one another. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Believe me, if Jesus prepared a place for you, it's a place you're going to enjoy and have. It's a place He's given. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Yeah, I believe today, as we've said, here in a heavenly place in Christ Jesus. I know it's here in Front Royal, and we're meeting here on a Saturday afternoon, and we've just gathered in, two or three are gathered together in His name. But I believe we have fellowship, don't you? I believe we have fellowship. The Bible says in 1 John, it tells us about that. In the book of 1 John, it talks about the fellowship that we have. He said in verse 3 of 1 John chapter 1, He says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye may also have fellowship with us." And He says, "And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." In other words, if you and I are having fellowship today, it's with the Father and with His Son. If we're having a true church service today, it's because the Father has showed up. It's because the Son has manifested His presence. It's because the Holy Spirit is moving among the congregation. It's because the Lord is here. And if we don't have that fellowship, well, we don't really have any fellowship at all. We have any true fellowship, it's with God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And anytime you have that, I'm saying you're sitting in one of those mansions. It's a place of heavenly abode. And we have many of them along the way. I think about all of them the Lord has supplied unto us and where we've had them. Times that we've been so low that we felt the Lord lift us up. And times we've been concerned, we felt the Lord's presence with us. Sometimes it's been in hospital rooms where you're just really concerned and you get down on your knees and you pray to the Lord and you feel His presence. And you don't know how it's going to be all right, but you know it's going to be all right. Times when your families where you just don't know which way to turn, which way to go, and you don't know what to do. And you say, "What should we do?" Something we ought to remind one another. Let us pray. Let us pray and look to the Lord. And the Lord will open the door that you had no idea of and open and make a way. And sometimes the very thing you dreaded most happens, and yet the Lord in that allows you to see how even in that, you see, even what He said in His Word, "All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose." And that's not talking about the evil acts of men, but I'm telling you, everything God does in your life works together for your good all the time. And He's worthy to be praised. That's why we ought to be here saying, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done for me. Lord, help me. Even though my heart's been troubled, Lord, forgive me that I've had a troubled heart. And help me just to trust in Thee." Let the peace of God, over in the book of Colossians, He gives us this language in Colossians. He said, "And let the," in verse 15 of chapter 3, He says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts." I want you to know the peace of God is in your heart. There's times, though, I'm not at peace. Why? Because I'm not letting it rule. If Christ is in you, the Lord of glory is in you, He will never leave you. If He has taken up His abode in your heart, He doesn't go in and out. He's always there. Sometimes you say, "Well, then why don't I feel the peace and the rest and the joy?" It's because I am not submitting to Him, and I'm not allowing Him. And I'm not saying He couldn't overwhelm me or over. Listen, Jesus didn't just knock on the outside and invite Himself in. He knocked the door down. and came in. But it's important for his little children to submit to him and say, Lord, don't let me. You know, there's an old part of us that just wants to be in control. You got a part like that? Yeah, I do. I want to be in charge. I want it my way. I want it to work out the way I want it to work out, when I want it to work out, how I want it to work out. And rather than and in order for me to really have peace as a little child of God, I have to rest in the knowledge that I'm not in control, but the Lord is in control, and I turn it over to Him. And I say, Lord, not my way, but Thy way. Not my will, but Thy will. And I'm able to submit myself. And at that point, I let the peace of God rule. Because I go, okay, it's going to be all right. Somebody said, and the old devil will send all kinds of things to you. Say, well, how's it going to be all right? You know it can't be all right. It's not going to work. Just remember, he's a liar. He's always been a liar. He's nothing but a liar. If the Lord said, trust in him and lean not on your own understanding, trust in the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, not only to love Him, but trust in Him and trust and lean not on your own understanding. And you know that you can count on His Word. If it were not so, He wouldn't have told us. But He did. And He told us. He said, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called. You know God's little children are called to be at peace? You're called to peace. Peace with God. Reconciled. God. We have been reconciled to God. That means what separated us from God, Jesus took upon Himself, and He's made us to be at peace with God. We were reconciled to God. We were changed and washed and made whole, so that we are able by the grace of God now to have fellowship with Him and to look to Him and lean upon Him. And we are able to let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are called in one body. Let's get that. Called in one body, and then I love this part. And be ye thankful. We just got through Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving ought to be one day a year. It ought to be every day. It ought to be Thanksgiving. Be thankful. And be thankful to the Lord for all that He has done. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way? See, Thomas knew a whole lot more, but his mind and his thoughts gets upon natural things, and ours do that as well. And Thomas asked the question, Lord, he said, whether I go, you know, and the way, you know. Jesus had already told him where he was going and what he was going to do, but Thomas, in his doubts, he said, Lord, we don't know whether you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, he says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And that tells us that we have one Lord, one Savior, one to give the praise to, and that's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's no way to the Father but by Him. And here's another wonderful truth. There's no way to know Jesus except the Father. In other words, you can't know the Son without the Father. You can't know the Father without the Son. And it sounds like from that, it surely takes the work of Almighty God to know Him. And the wonderful truth in Hebrews 8, it says, and they all shall know me from the least to the greatest. And we no longer are to teach any man, our neighbor, to know the Lord. He says, for they all shall know me from the least to the greatest. And He'll write His laws upon our hearts and upon our minds. And oh, what a wonderful work of Almighty God in the new birth and allowing us to know Him. If you know the Father, it's because of the Son. And if you know the Son, it's because of the work of the Father. And we know that by the work of the Holy Spirit, where He's come and taken up His abode in our hearts, making us new creatures in Christ Jesus. He said, I am the way, not a way, but the way. I am the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know Him, and have seen Him. And then Philip speaks up and says unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus in His patience looks at Philip, and he says, Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? I believe Philip knew Him. I believe Philip loved Him. I believe Philip was a little child of God. But he needed to be told again. That's why it's written here. So we can be told again. He says, he that has seen me has seen the Father. You want to see the beauty of the Father? You look at the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in Him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? You got the Trinity all through this. He says, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Do you believe the Lord is still working in this world today? I certainly do. And there were some wonderful things that Jesus did when he opened the eyes of the blind, when he unstopped the deaf ears. And there are still wonderful miracles that the Lord's doing in healing physical bodies of physical diseases. He still works among us. We see it all the time. Sometimes we have the blinders on and we'll give everything else the praise. We call luck and fortune and all kinds of things. But at any time we have any good thing happen, the Bible says every good and perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. We know the Lord does that. But I'll tell you, greater than any natural gift is the spiritual blessings that we see all the time. You want to see some great works of God? I tell you, to see one little brother in the bondage spiritually to come out and understand the gospel and be liberated, set free. The lame, they leap for joy in hearing the gospel message. The deaf have their ears unstopped so they can hear it. There was a time that you could not hear it, but the Lord has opened your ears so that you can hear it. There was a time you couldn't see it. You rode right by it, but couldn't see it. But the Lord has allowed you to see it. There have been times that your mouth was closed to the praise of Almighty God, but He's put a new song in your mouth, even praises unto the Lord. He's unloosed our tongue. Those spiritual miracles are happening all the time. He said in one place when John the Baptist was in prison, remember? He said, don't show John again all these things. And he mentioned the deaf hear and the lame leap and all of the dead are raised. And then he says, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. You know, just to be able to sit here today and share the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, it's a great, great miracle the Lord has allowed us to have. He said, and then he goes, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. What that simply is saying is anything we ask of Him and according to His will, He will grant that. And it is always ultimately that the Father may be glorified in the Son. It isn't about us, it's about Him. We get over that, we can be settled with a whole lot of things. Let not your heart be troubled, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. This isn't about me, it's about Him. And He says, and if you shall ask anything in my name, that doesn't mean I just use the name of Jesus. It means to His honor and to His praise and to His glory. Lord, this is what I feel that I need. But if it's not to Thy honor and Thy praise and Thy glory, Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Verse 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love Him today, keep His commandments. Listen, the reason you love Him is because He first loved you. And if he's ever loved you, He'll always love you. Isn't that good? If he's ever loved you, He'll always love you. His love is unconditional and everlasting. And may all praise and honor and glory be given to His name. When you have a mind to pray, remember me. And God bless you. I appreciate your attention.